Is it recording?
We don't have a lot of time, but I would like very much the words that I share with you now should be a schiot for Yeshua Dan the Naomi, who's a close friend of mine and member of the Beim in the Yeshiva, and they should have refuah shlema. He's also a psychologist. I thought it would be interesting to share with you a quick idea. I mentioned to Rabbi Blas before, and I wanted to speak about narcissism. Does anybody know what the word narcissism means? Narcissism? Okay, only 3-4 people. That's what I thought. So if you did any Wikipedia, you look up narcissism, you'll get to the following definition. Narcissism is the pursuit of gratification from vanity. It's the ability not just to be arrogant, but to be overly arrogant. The DSM, which is a book that all mental health professionals generally use because it has the criteria to diagnose people with various disorders, the DSM writes that narcissistic personality are people who are defined as having a mental illness because they are excessively preoccupied with themselves. The only thing is that the DSM-4, which was the last edition, included that particular disorder. Today, if you open up the DSM-5, which is the new edition, you will not find narcissistic personality disorder listed. You may wonder, is that because there was a cure? And unfortunately, it's just the opposite. There's a tremendous epidemic in the world about how we view ourselves. It's an interesting book that was written about the narcissistic epidemic. If I had more time, I would share many descriptions and examples of how we, our generation, has become narcissistic. But look, listen to the following statistics. In the 1950s, 12% of all high school graduates, in the 1950s, 12% of all high school graduates thought they were important. In the 1990s, 90% of all of high school graduates thought that they were important. Is that because they graduated high school? No. It's because we live in a culture that we are bred with this concept that we are special to the world. We are important. What we say matters. I was going to use a sports example in the favor of Bishnaris in the room, but I'll try one. Football is the all-American team sport. 20, 30 years ago, when somebody made a touchdown, they went, they kissed the ball maybe, they put it down over the line. Touchdown. Today, when someone makes a touchdown, they do these weird dances where every single bone, muscle, kilo, it's them, they're the ones responsible. Nothing about the offensive, defensive, the quarterback. It's all about that one individual. And again, there are many, many examples of this concept of being narcissistic, that we tend to view ourselves as being very, very important. Anybody has an iPhone, iPod, even if you own a galaxy, you own the galaxy, the whole world. That's the culture that we live in. We live in a culture, yeah, you laugh, but that's exactly what it is. We live in a culture that's very much focused about ourselves. So the question for today is, what does the Torah say about I? It says in Pirkei Avos, Huwa Ya'omer, Im Ein Ani Li Mili, Shani Latzmi Mani. If I'm not for myself, who am I? But if I'm only for myself, then what am I? So on the one hand, Judaism doesn't deny self-importance. Judaism doesn't deny the concept that you should have self-confidence, you should have proper esteem. But on the other hand, if I'm all for myself, if everything that I choose to do is just for me, then Judaism throws out a massive message in our faces. Who are you? If everything you do is just for yourself, then who are you? The Hasidim used to take two notes, one in the right pocket, one in the left pocket. If they lifted the note in the right pocket, it would say, Bishvili nivra olam, I'm important, because for the world was created for me. But yet in the same pair of pants in the left pocket, they would take out another note and it would say, Anohi afar v'efer, I'm nothing, I'm just but earth in this world. So somehow we have to balance between the two. having appropriate self-esteem, self-confidence, and knowing that we are a major part of the world. But on the other hand, to say and to realize and to understand that we are nothing in this massive global environment that surrounds us. Shimon Shkaf says that the greatness of a person is about how their ani is, their ani, the I. You see, if you're a simple Jew, your ani, it's about me, myself, and I. That's what he says. If you're a greater Jew than just a simple Jew, then your ani, it's about you, but it's also about your family. It's about your wife and your children, maybe your siblings. If you're a greater Jew than that, your ani, it's about you, your family, but also about your community, your neighbors, your friends. And therefore, it would fit almost logically that the greatness of a person is that the greater your ani is, the more that you begin to think about others, the greater that you are. It's not just about me, myself, my family, my siblings, my community, but it's about thinking and concerning ourselves with every member of Klal Yisrael. That's how you measure the greatness of a person. Not about how self-focused they are, but how focused are they on other people. Over the past number of days, including before Rosh Hashanah, we spoke a lot about tshuva. How to do it, where to do it, when to do it, what type of tshuva there is. I'd like to suggest today that there's another aspect of tshuva than just us working on ourselves and our ben adam l'makom. Says the Gemara, Masecha Yoma, Averot sheben adam l'makom, Yoma Kippur mechaper. All the averos between you and God, don't worry about it. Yoma Kippur will take care of it. Averot sheben adam l'chavero, however, all the averos, the sins that we do between us and our fellow man, Ein Yoma Kippur mechaper, ad shiratze et chavero. You can walk in, you can be the greatest Jew, you can have the greatest davening, keep the most amazing mitzvot on Shabbos, and the list goes on and on. But if you offended your friend, and you did not get mechila from your friend, your Yom Kippur is not going to be mochol on your avonos. The Rambam echoes the same words. We don't have enough time. I'm not going to read it through. But he basically says, "Ein atshuva v'lo Yom Kippur mechaperim ela laverot shebein adam mechavero." The Rambam says. So what's the yesod? Rav Yisrael Salant says, the yesod is the following. Yesod, b'chinat etikun. If you want to know what the yesod is of walking into that room, walking to the besmidish, or any shul that you will be in Yom Kippur, and getting true mechila from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yesod b'chinat etikun hu, b'dvarim shebein adam lechavero, asher aleim en Yom Kippur mechaper. You walk into that shul on Shabbos, on Friday night, on Shabbos day. The yesod is about your relationship with the world. It's about your relationship with your friends, your community, your family, other students, your rebbeim, and the list goes on and on. That's the yesod. We're so fixed on repairing our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We worry so much about how much we need to shuckle, about how long our tzitzis needs to be, on being medactic, on every bracha that I need to say over. But we forget sometimes that Yom Kippur is not just a day between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yom Kippur is a day between us and the world. When the Kodesh Baruch Hu created the world, He didn't create man. He didn't create the I by Himself. He created man and woman, and then He created a generation and generations and generations and billions of people. We are part of that. Shlach HaKadosh would rebuke His Talmidim. When on Yom Kippur, on every Yom Kippur, they would go around and they would say, "Are you mochel me? Are you mochel me? I'm sorry. Are you mochel me? Are you mochel me?" And you would give them the greatest rebuke. And you would say, "That's how you ask mechila? Did you do a cheshbon nefesh? Did you sit down? Did you ask yourself, did the action hurt somebody else? And if the answer to that question is yes, how can you go over and say, 'Are you mochel me?' That's your mechila. But rather take the time, take the energy, take the effort to say, what did I do this year? And to whom do I need to ask forgiveness from?" I want to share with you one story, and with this we'll end because I don't have that much time. Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach was asked the following psak halacha a number of days before Yom Kippur. In the building next to him, there was a family that were expecting a child. And Baruch Hashem, it was a great simcha, and they had a baby boy. And but from the day that this baby was born till the eighth day in the same building, there was another child that lost his life. The only problem is the parents of this new child, this new baby, they had wanted to name their child Yonatan. And the baby, the other child that lost his life, his name was Yonatan. So they went to Rav Zalman Orbach and they asked him, is it okay, is it appropriate for us to name our child Yonatan? We don't want it to be a Simon Ra. We are afraid it's something inherent. Maybe if you name Yonatan, he'll have the same bad luck. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach answered that they should not name their son Yonatan. But the Rebbeim, maybe some of you in this room who know the writings of Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, you would know that that is really not typical at all of his different types of psaks. So Talmidim asked him, Rav Shlomo, since when do we not name after somebody when somebody loses life? You don't hold like that. You don't believe like that. The Ayin Hara, that's for Sfarta. Listen to the answer Rav Shlomo Zalman gave. Rav Shlomo Zalman said it has nothing to do with the segula. But imagine the following scenario. The years down the line after this baby grows up, and he's going to be playing outside. So his mother is going to scream out, Yonatan, come home for lunch. Yonatan, come back. Yonatan, can you get me something from the fridge? Yonatan, Yonatan, Yonatan. And this will be the message that the other mother will hear. She will hear the name of her child being called Yonatan, Yonatan, Yonatan. And every single time that name is being called, she will cringe inside and she will be thinking about her child. And therefore the psak is that they should not be called Yonatan. That is the gedula of a person. A person who is able to become aware, to become sensitive to the needs, to the hearts, to the thoughts of other people. And that is our mission. Rabosai, we have a number of days. Our work is not done. How many of us are going to pick up the phone and calling our parents to ask for mechila? How many of us are going to call family members, relatives that we may have hurt over the year, maybe offended, not because of intentional, to ask for mechila? How many of us are going to take upon ourselves this year, as we look around the room, by the way, I can say right now, I know Rav Olshan made a joke about it earlier in the year, but now that I've experienced it, in the 10 years that I've been here for Rosh Hashanah, we have never had the type of ruach and the type of achdus that we had this year. What an unbelievable group. What an unbelievable group. How many of us are going to take upon ourselves this year to make sure that we don't just stay within our friends, but we reach out to everybody in this Torah Shraga family? How many of us are going to think about the Yonatans that exist in our lives and how important it is to be sensitive to others? Because if we do, Kodesh Baruch Hu promises that we will have true mechila. Should have gemar chatima tova.